WFHR.org.
Oh, this first hour of Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University.
It's a calling, a strange compulsion that makes us leave our homes, taking music on the road. We can't deny it, though we sometimes try it. It always haunts us if we hesitate to go. Good road, good road, I'm wishing you a good road. May your wheels always turn and may the sun light up your day. Good road, good road, I'm wishing you a good road. May you find your comfort in friends along the way.
Oh, indeed, indeed, indeed. Hello, everybody, and welcome again to another edition of Inland Folk. This is another one of these evergreen shows. It's before the break, and so we might as well, and that way we can run this again. This is an interesting show. I think it's real interesting, especially for those of you who don't know much about the pop 60s folk music, that era between about 1957 or so to about 1970. We're going to take a look at that. Those of you listening on the alternative stations on KZUU, you're going to have some problems with this because this is purely pop. This is the folk scare, what Utah Phillips used to call the folk scare, what he called middle-class music for middle-class bread. That was that side of it all. To be fair to the commercial folk movement of the 60s, and it was basically set up for all kinds of reasons, and we're going to put this into a historical context. You know, as the whole payola scandal and all that was going on, rock and roll kind of bottomed out in the very late, in the early 60s, 60, 61, 59, because there was just so much corruption going on and so many things that people just didn't want to touch. People were getting in trouble because of that whole payola scandal thing. And so a lot of folks, and then there was a big writer's strike and a lot of stuff interfered with the kind of natural evolution of pop music and rock and roll. And so that did give an arena, though, for the whole folk thing, because people were just looking for things to record, record companies and that kind of thing, and for Motown, actually. And so that all of this trouble and these strikes and things were sort of the catalyst for all of that. Okay? And so what we got was a folk movement, and it was basically a lot of college. It was pretty fairly clean cut. There were some fringe radical folks on the outside and who also got involved because record companies were willing to take a risk on folks like Dylan, who had no voice whatsoever, according to everybody, and were willing to tolerate a lot of the interesting things that were cropping up out of the urban folk scene. It was basically urban. But there was some bluegrass, Flat and Scruggs, of course, were kind of a part of this on the fringe, Johnny Cash, the Greenbrier Boys, folks like that. And, of course, this paved the way for more pop airing of Pete Seeger and Tom Paxton, and a lot of artists began to investigate their songwriting abilities. And all of this happened, and the British Invasion started. But even the British Invasion, the Beatles themselves, were influential in sort of the folk rock thing. And they did a lot of acoustics, some wonderful, wonderful ballads that we would say now were of a folk nature, okay? And anyway, eventually then, of course, the psychedelic thing took over, and there were other genre, other areas in the industry that would sell better than folk, and folk became more of an underground thing, and eventually it kind of all petered out from a commercial standpoint. But what it all did do is it gave those of us who were fairly sheltered and basically only listened to commercial folk music, it gave us something we could chew on, and then we could say, hey, we want to go farther into this, and we want to think about Woody Guthrie and Irish music and all this kind of stuff. And that's what the commercial folk movement did for a lot of folks like me, okay? So that's what this whole show is all about, all 3 hours of it, okay? Alrighty, that's my intro. And it's just going to be pretty much music from now on with a little bit of commentary. Not much. I think we'll start out when we aired this a couple weeks back. We aired a live version of this. This is the original RCA recording of Harry Belafonte. And you hear this at football games now and at baseball games. You hear the one refrain. You hear Dayo. This is the Banana Boat song. And then we're going to follow it up with Stan Freberg's takeoff on all of that. I've done this a couple times and it's a hoot. Alrighty, Harry Belafonte from the original RCA recording, the Banana Boat song.
Dale, Dale, daylight come and me walk home. Dale, he said 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 Dale. Daylight come and me walk home. Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Not to shout like that.
Well,
it's like right in my ear, man.
Well, it goes with the song.
Yeah, but don't holler in my ear,
well,
man.
Well, it's authentic calypso.
Yeah, but like
shout.
If I stand next to me, man.
Well, the shout go with the bongo drums.
Well, not my bongo drums, man. I mean, move away.
Well, like. I don't see why.
No. Stand over next to the guitar, man.
He sent me over here.
Yeah? Well, then sing soft, man. You know, I mean, like, wow.
Okay.
It's too loud, man.
Day.
That's better.
He's a day, 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 oh. Daylight come and me want go home.
Yeah, man.
Who work all night and a drink of rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Lift 6 foot,
hold
seven
it,
foot, eight
hold
foot,
it, man. Too loud, man. Too loud.
6 foot, 7 foot,
hold it,
foot,
man.
Eight
hold it, hold
foot,
it, man.
Punch.
My ears, like my ears. No, hold it, man.
Easy day.
too shrill, man. It's too piercing.
Oh, well, I don't see why.
No, it's too piercing, man. It's too piercing.
Well, I got through the shout.
No, man, it's too piercing. Like, I don't dig loud noises.
Well, you ruined the whole...
piercing.
...record is what you do.
Yeah, well, tough. I'll take my bongos and go, man, because the whole thing is, like, bugging me anyhow.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. I won't shout.
No, I'm cutting, man, like I didn't want to make this gig in the first place.
No, no, wait a minute. I'll be soft.
Yeah? Well, then back off from me, man. It's too piercing.
Okay. How's this?
Too loud, man.
Okay.
Too loud, man. I can still hear you. Would you mind leaving the room?
Okay.
Crazy.
Daylight come and we won't go home. Daylight come and me won't go home.
Hey, beautiful bunch of ripe banana.
Daylight come and me won't go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come. Oh, man, don't sing about spiders. I mean, ooh, well, like I don't dig spiders.
Well, that's how the song goes. Seagulls.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and me won't go home.
Is that it? Can I leave now?
Oh, not yet. We got a big finish.
Hey.
Yeah, man.
I locked myself out.
Crazy.
I come through the window.
Daylight come and me won't go home.
Wow.
Stan Freberg from his album, The Tip of the Freeberg. Stan Freeberg and his version of the Banana Boat song, which came out in the very late 50s, actually featured on guitar a very, very, very young Glenn Campbell on guitar, way before the alcohol and the cocaine and the big stardom and the parties and True Grit and all that stuff. But he had his influences, too. He did a wonderful recording on an old Rickenbacker guitar, and Rickenbackers were kind of a feature of a lot of this, especially the folk rock scene with the Birds, and, of course, the Beatles used the old Rickenbacker guitars. Harrison used it a lot in some of that early Beatles music, and we'll talk about that in a sec. But anyway, Glenn Campbell was influential, and he recorded a song written by the late John Hartford, and the late John Hartford, of course, who was... Billed on the Dick Cavett Show as a cross between Earl Scruggs and Mark Twain. And Glenn Campbell did one of his songs, which in the 66, 67 was pretty radical.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line. That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on their columns now that bind me. Or something that somebody said because they thought we fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiving when I walk along some railroad track and find that you're moving on the back roads by the rivers of my memory, and for hours you're just gentle on my mind. Though the wheat fields and the clotheslines and the junkyards and the highways come between us, and some other woman's crying to her mother 'cause she turned and I was gone, I still might run and see
silence. Tears of joy might stain my face, and a summer sun might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot see you, walking on the back roads by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind. I dip my cup of soup back from a gurgling, crackling cauldron in some train yard. My beard a roughening coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Through cupped hands round the tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're waiting from the back roads by the rivers of my memories, ever smiling, ever gentle on my mind.
With any new love that I've found, trade, I'm moving on. I won't think of you when I'm gone. So don't you shed a tear for me, 'cause I ain't the love you thought I'd be. I've got 100 more like you, so don't be blue. I'll have 1,000 before I'm through. Now there you go, you cried again. Now there you go, you cried again. But then someday when your poor heart is on the mend, I just might pass this way again. That's what you get for loving me. That's what you get for loving me. Everything you had is gone, as you can see. That's what you get for loving me. That's what you get for loving me.
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, America's newest singing sensation, the Limelighters.
There's a meeting here tonight. There's a meeting here tonight. I know you by your friendly face. There's a meeting here tonight. There's a meeting here tonight. There's a meeting here tonight. I know you by your friendly face. There's a meeting here tonight. There's a meeting here tonight. Great God, I'm glad you came along. Hope all the brothers and the sisters here will help me sing this song. There's a meeting here tonight. I hear it. There's a meeting here tonight.
California group The Limelighters, started by tenor Glenn Yarborough, who was very, very instrumental in that group. And it's being Glenn Yarborough, Alex Hasselhoff, and Lou Gottlieb. I think Lou Gottlieb is dead. I'm not sure about Alex Hasselhoff and Glenn Yarborough. I'd heard that Glenn Yarborough just died, but that may or may. Anyway, these guys are, if they are still alive, they're all in their early 80s, late 70s now. The Limelighters were an especially polished group. That the humor that was very, it's on the intellectual side, the collegiate side, UCLA is what they were. And yeah, the Limelighters, a lot of good stuff they did. Oh my gosh. Hey Lily Low, Have Some Madeira Madeira, the Flanders and Swan song, and all kinds of stuff. The Limelighters made a big splash with all the young Rotarian Lions Club types. They did, the Limelighters. And before that, Judy Collins, Someday Soon, from her album Who Knows Where the Time Goes, Ian Tyson's song that she adapted. Judy Collins was really good at finding hitherto neglected material and utilizing it. She's the one who really boosted Leonard Cohen into a lot of mainstream living rooms. Judy Collins and Joni Mitchell, she recorded Both Sides Now. We'll probably get to that later on in the show. Who Knows Where the Time... Before that, Gordon Lightfoot at his obnoxious best, That's What You Get for Loving Me. With that attitude, dude, no one will love you in the first place, and that's what you get. Anyway, Gordon Lightfoot. And we're just working on this kind of pop folk sort of thing, sort of overview. And there'll be a couple of songs that weren't necessarily pop. I want to play Dylan's version of Sad Eyed Lady of the Lowlands because I had a request. That's coming up. And after the break, and there is a break, and after the break, the song that sort of started it all for a lot of mainstream folks. And we're going to hear that. We have to take a break. Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. I'm your host, Dan Maher, and we're going to be coming right back. You just hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on.
Support for programs on Northwest Public Radio comes from Whitman Hospital in Colfax, providing a surgery center with in-house orthopedic coverage. Their specially trained team offers patient care before, during, and after surgery. Information on specialized orthopedic care and services can be found at whitmanhospital.com.
Another sunny day today with high temperatures about 65 degrees, mostly clear tonight with lows in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, skies will become mostly cloudy, bringing a chance of rain, some gusty winds on the Palouse. High temperatures tomorrow in the 50s as our cooling trend continues.
Alrighty, we're just moving on here. The Kingston Trio got it kind of started in the late 50s, about 1957 or so. Dave Gard and Bob Shane had known each other from Hawaii days. And Nick Reynolds and Bob Shane met at Menlo College. And Dave Gard was at Stanford. And they got together and created that whole sort of collegiate folk sound. They were the ones really who sort of started it all. And there were so many, many offshoots of this kind of thing, three, four men, and the Kingston Trio. And they were around for about 10 years or so. And Dave Gard left the group in 61, and John Stewart, the really, really good singer-songwriter, joined the group, and he was with them until 1967 when they broke up. But they had lots and lots and lots of hits. Oh my gosh, lots of hits, because they had lots and lots of albums. In those days, groups would put out three and four albums a year. The Beatles put out four, five, six albums their first year. And it's the same with these groups. There wasn't this idea of just one album a year or maybe two every year and a half or something like that. It didn't work that way. All these groups were cranking them out. And the studio was a new thing. It was a big thing. Stereo was a technological innovation. And so the Kingston Trio did a lot of that kind of thing. Lots of folks appearing on television. And the Kingston Trio did a lot of television appearances and commercials for 7-Up and that kind of thing. The Kingston Trio, this is the one that started it all. I don't think I've ever played this on this show. And if I have, this is just short of playing Kumbaya for those of you who are so that non-pop oriented. And we won't do Kumbaya. Here it is, the one that started it all for the Kingston Trio. 1958 started it all for them. And go like this.
Throughout history, there have been many songs written about the Eternal Triangle. This next one tells the story of a Mr. Grayson, a beautiful woman, and a condemned man named Tom Dooley. Sun rises tomorrow, Tom Dooley must hang.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley, hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley, poor boy, you're bound to die. I met her on the mountain, there I took her life. Met her on the mountain, stabbed her with my knife. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley, hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley, poor boy, you're bound to die. This time tomorrow, reckon where I'll be. Hadn't it been for Grayson, I'd have been in Tennessee.
Well now, boy,
hang down your head,
Dooley,
and cry. Hang down your head and cry.
Hang down your head,
Tom, your head and cry. Oh boy, you're bound to die. Head and cry.
Oh, well,
hang down your head and cry. Oh boy, you're bound to die.
This time tomorrow, reckon where I'll be. Down in some lonesome valley,
hanging from a white oak tree.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die.
Oh, well, now, boy.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry.
Oh, well, I...
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley.
Poor boy, you're bound to die.
Come shining from the Exciting area of folk idiom and folk music to us has always been the hatchet murders in Massachusetts. And I think that this quaint bit of suburban living can best be explained through the use of our poet laureate, Joe Frazier.
Elizabeth Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. And when the job was nicely done, she gave her father 41.
Yesterday in Old Fall River, Mr. Andrew Borden died, and he got his daughter Lizzie on a charge of homicide. Some folks say she didn't do it, and others say of course she did. But they all agree Miss Lizzie B was a problem kind of kid. 'Cause you can't chop your papa up in Massachusetts, not even if his plan is a surprise.
A surprise!
So you can't chop your papa up in Massachusetts. You know how neighbors love to criticize. On the sofa where he'd gone to take a snooze, and I hope he went to heaven 'cause he wasn't wearing shoes. Lizzie kinda rearranged him with a hatchet, so they say. Then she got her mother in that same old-fashioned way.
But you can't chop your mama up in Massachusetts,
not even if you
tired of her cuisine.
Her cuisine, no, you can't cut your mama up in Massachusetts. They know it's almost sure to cause a scene.
Well, they really kept her hopping on that busy afternoon, with both down and upstairs tapping while she hummed a ragtime tune. They really made her hustle, and when all was said and done, she'd removed her mother's bustle when she wasn't wearing one.
Oh, you can't cut your mama up in Massachusetts and then blame all the damage on the mice. No, you can't cut your mama up in Massachusetts. That kind of thing just isn't very nice.
Now, it wasn't done for pleasure, and it wasn't done for spite, and it wasn't done because the lady wasn't very bright. She'd always done the slightest thing that Mom and Papa bid, they said.
Lizzie, cut it out.
So that's exactly what you did.
No, you can't chop your papa up in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is a far cry from New York. No, you can't chop your papa up in Massachusetts.
Shut the door and lock and latch it. Here comes Lizzie with a brand new hatchet.
You can't chop your papa up in Massachusetts.
Such a snob, I've heard it said. She met her pa and cut him dead.
You can't chop your papa up in Massachusetts.
Jump like a fish, jump like a porpoise. All join hands in habeas corpus.
You can't chop your papa up in Massachusetts,
is a far cry from New York. You know, I bet that song is just short of politically incorrect nowadays. But it wasn't in those days. The Chad Mitchell Trio, from their album In Concert, A Mighty Day, was called On Campus. And you can't chop your papa up in Massachusetts. And the Seekers, I know I'll never find another you. The Seekers made a lot of money for Tom Springfield, the songwriter, who was a kind of a Australian sort of, actually was part of the whole Springfield dynasty. Tom Springfield and the late Dusty Springfield, R.D. Rocum, and Wishin' and Hopin', that's all Dusty Springfield. And of course, I think Rick Springfield is related to that bunch. And the Seekers did a lot of Tom Springfield. The World of Our Own, Georgie Girl, all those were Tom Springfield songs. Did you notice the use of the 12-string in there? 12-string, octave strings, the last four strings, lower strings are octaves paired together. You heard that on Walk Right In by the Rooftop Singers as well. I talked about the Reichenbacher electric 12-string. That was a big deal in the 60s, that Reichenbacher sound. The Beatles used it a lot, and so did the Byrds. Roger McGuinn still does. And, of course, Roger McGuinn was Jim McGuinn when he was with the Chad Mitchell Trio, played for them banjo and guitar, kind of a one-man band. This is his sound on the electric with the Byrds, with David Crosby and the Byrds, Gene Clark on the old Reichenbach electric guitar.
Sunday morning, it was all I hoped it would be. Oh, Monday morning, Monday morning, couldn't guarantee that Monday evening you would still be here with me. Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me? Every other day, every other day, every other day, every other day of the week is fine. So good to me. Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be. But Monday morning, Monday morning, couldn't guarantee
that Monday evening you would still be here with me.
Every other day. Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, it just turns out that way. Monday, Monday, won't go away. Monday, Monday,
for a daydream. What a day for a daydreaming boy. And I'm lost in a daydream, dreaming about my bundle of joy. And even if time ain't really on my side, it's one of those days for taking a walk outside. I'm blowing the day to take a walk in the sun and follow my face on somebody's new mowed lawn. I've been having a sweet dream. I've been dreaming since I woke up today. It's starring me in my sweet dream, 'cause she's the one makes me feel this way. And even if time is passing me by a lot, I couldn't care less about the dues you say I got. Tomorrow I'll pay the dues for dropping my load, a pie in the face for being a sleepy bulldog. Or you may be daydreaming for a thousand years. What a day for a daydream, custom made for a daydreaming boy. I'm lost in a daydream, dreaming about my bundle of
joy.
Oh, indeed, indeed, indeed. The Lovin' Spoonful there. The Lovin' Spoonful was the name of that group. John Sebastian and Saul Rabinowitz. And, of course, Saul and Denny from the Mamas and Papas had worked together with John Phillips. Before that, the Mamas and the Papas. And Monday, Monday, all of these people influenced each other so much. They did. John Sebastian, my gosh. I wonder, his voice, you know, he did an album with David Grisman. John Sebastian did not too long ago. It's actually a pretty good album. Did a lot of kind of neat stuff on it. John Sebastian doesn't quite have the pipes he used to have. We're looking at the pop folk music from the 60s, and we're going to come back with some interesting stuff. And we hope you enjoy it. Actually, we're going to play Bob Dylan's version of Sad-Eyed Lady of the Lowlands, which is quite lengthy, and that's coming up at the beginning of this next hour. Okay, Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. I'm your host, Dan Maher. If you want to email me at dmaher at wsu.edu. That's dmaher at wsu.edu, and I will get back to you. I promise. Alrighty. We're going to be back. You just hang on, because we are coming back, so hang on.
It's a minute before 12 o'clock, and hour two of Inland Folk with Dan Maher begins in just a moment. Support for our programming comes from WSU's Global Campus, offering weekly online learning events. These interactive one-hour sessions cover diverse subjects from dream analysis to beekeeping, presented by Washington State University faculty. Registration at open.wsu.edu. You're tuned to your NPR and classical music station, Northwest Public Radio. I'm Bruce Bradbury.
Support for programs on Northwest Public Radio comes from Heart of the Arts, Inc., announcing the 1912 Center's All-Ages Family Prom, Saturday, November 2nd, from 7 to 10. Retro Fashions Welcome for prom pictures and dancing to tunes from the 1950s to present. More at 1912center.org.
Northwest Public Radio, KRFA 91.7 Moscow Pullman, KNWV 90.5 Clarkston Lewiston, and KNWO 90.1 Cottonwood Grangeville, a community service of the Edward R. Murrow College of Communication at Washington State University, online at nwpr.org.